From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. Facebook has been in the headlines a lot. The company recently got hit with the biggest fine ever from the Federal Trade Commission, $5 billion, for violating users' privacy and security. But our reporter, Nate Halverson, who's here with me now, has been digging into a case that gives us a new look behind the scenes. So, Nate, how did you find out about this story?
Well, I'll be honest, it was kind of a night like any other when I had gone out to see my buddy's band on Market Street in San Francisco. And it's at this place called Café du Nord, which is like literally an underground club where the doors open up and you descend this old Victorian staircase. And when you get to the bottom of the flight, this beautiful old bar opens up on your right and there's kind of a dilapidated stage.
Why have you not taken me here?
Oh man, I am remiss in my duties as a San Franciscan. I gotta get you down there to this club. This place is great.
All right, so next time you go, I'm going with you. Please continue.
And so, you know, I belly up to the bar, I order a whiskey, and I'm sitting there sipping on it when the band goes to set break. And the lead singer, who's a good buddy, gets down off stage and he sees me sitting there and he goes, "Hey, Nate, you got to talk to this guy next to you, JR. He's got a heck of a good story for you."
Wait, is this how you get scoops?
Well, I mean, not all of the time, but generally, yeah, this is how, just being alive, people got great stories to tell.
All right, so you sit down next to this guy, JR, and he starts talking. What does he have to say?
So he basically says, you know, JR's an attorney, and he's got this class action lawsuit against Facebook. And he says to me, "Look, if you really want to understand how Facebook operates, I mean, if you want to understand the business ethics of this company, you got to look at this case I'm working on." And that's how I met Glynis Bohannon.
Hello, Glynis.
Hi.
Nate Halverson.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
So let me take you back to a fall day in Phoenix, Arizona, back in 2011. It's like hot outside, and this is like even an unusually hot day for Phoenix.
Not quite cool enough for kids to be back out playing outside.
So Glynis Bohannon's son, Ian, he's 12 at the time. He's doing what all kids will do on a hot day. He's playing video games.
At his age, I would often use his gaming time as a little bit of trade-off for doing homework. If you get your work done, your schoolwork done, your chores done, your homework done, then you can have gaming time.
He goes in, he gets on the computer, he loads up Facebook, and he starts playing a game called Ninja Saga.
I don't play games on Facebook, so does Facebook own these games? Like, how does that work?
No, what Facebook did was it opened up its platform for outside companies to develop these games that are then loaded on Facebook so kids like Ian can play them.
But they're free, right?
Yeah, on the face of it, they're free. But if you want to do something extra, like get a magical sword for your ninja, or just like make it more powerful, to do that, he has to spend money. And Facebook, it gets a 30% cut of that.
So he had approached me with his chore money to get access to be able to play this game, Ninja Saga.
So Ian went and grabbed a $20 bill that he earned doing his chores and hands it to his mom.
I said, "Okay, I'll go ahead and I'll put my credit card in and give me your $20. And I loaded my credit card in the system and he proceeded to start playing the game.
So Glynis takes off. She goes and hangs out with some friends and doesn't think another thing about it until she gets back to the house.
And my husband said that Wells Fargo called. And I thought, oh, I hope somebody didn't go on a shopping spree with my card.
So she goes and she logs onto her Wells Fargo credit card account and she sees a string of charges.
$20, $50, $50, $20, 21 transactions on the backside of this paper.
Totaling almost $1,000.
So when I pulled up that account on the computer and I see Facebook, I'm like, what is going on? What is all of this?
She thought that her son had asked to spend $20 and then just compulsively kept spending.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, Ian Michael, what have you been doing with my credit card? I'm like, look at this statement. I have $1,000 in charges from Facebook. What have you been doing with my card? He's like, I don't have your card, Mom. I don't know what you're talking about.
And so she says, well, load up the game on Facebook and show me what you did. And so he loads it up and he starts playing and he's playing the game.
And it's ringing and bells and whistles and gling, 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 you know, kind of noises. And then the stack of coins got small, like two coins. And it would blink at him. It kept blinking, blinking, blinking at him. And then he hit it and it went and shot up, and now there was this big, tall stack of gold coins. And nothing else popped up. And then he started to play again.
And she doesn't see him spend any money.
And then he said, that's all I've been doing.
So she goes and she logs back into the credit card account.
And sure enough, brand new charge of $19.95.
Facebook has stored her credit card. And she's not used to this because every time Ian wanted to spend money on his Xbox, she would have to go over and re-enter her credit card. But on Facebook,
nothing popped up and said, do you want to proceed with this transaction of $19.95? Nothing came up at all.
Ian could rack up hundreds of dollars without ever realizing it.
Oh, I was so mad. I was like, this is so wrong.
Was she able to stop payment with the bank? Like, what happened with her?
So first, she tried to reach out to Facebook. Emails, emails, emails. She tried to find a phone number to call them. She left voice messages for them. Never heard back. Never got a response. So finally, she reaches out to her credit card. And she says, look, my son accidentally spent this money. We didn't realize it. It wasn't clear. And her credit card company said, well, we can refund the money for you, but you have to file a criminal complaint, essentially a criminal felony complaint against your son for spending nearly $1,000 without your permission. So she didn't want to do that. And she realized that she probably wasn't the only one facing this.
My feelings were that this could have impacted a lot of people and a lot of families.
So back in 2011, she reaches out to a lawyer.
J.R. Parker.
J.R. Parker, the same guy that I sat down next to in that bar in San Francisco.
And that was it.
They began finding other people that it's happened to, and it was happening to a lot of folks, and they turned it into a class action lawsuit.
And so what happens during that lawsuit?
Well, JR and his colleagues want to know a bunch of stuff. They want to know how much children were spending on these games, how much money they and their parents were trying to claw back from Facebook, and they wanted to know when Facebook realized that this was a problem and what they did to try to stop it. Glynis's lawyers and Facebook's go back and forth and eventually decide to settle. Two important things happen. The first is that Facebook agrees to create an easier way for kids and parents to ask for refunds. But they don't actually force developers to stop doing what they've been doing. The second thing is that all the information gathered in this case is sealed. It gets buried in a courthouse in San Jose, and that's where it would have stayed.
But it didn't.
Nate walks by my office and says, if you have some time later today, I'd really love to talk to you.
I turned to Reveal's lawyer and absolute hero, Vicky Baranetsky.
And so he gave me the docket. I went and did a deep dive into it and started looking into ways that we could file a motion to unseal.
So basically, that means she asked the court to make that evidence public.
So this is protected by the First Amendment and common law to have access to court records. It goes really far back in time. You can trace it back to the British judicial system, and I'm not going to go into that history right now. But these are really strong rights.
And so she argued that it's especially important for the public to know about this stuff, given the privacy troubles Facebook has gotten into recently.
We trotted out the history of this company, you know, with cases such as Cambridge Analytica, where they have not earned the trust of the public. And so after we filed the brief, Facebook files their brief. We filed a response. Facebook files a response. The court does a review. And, I think it was 2 or 3 months later, the court came back and issued an order.
And what happened?
The court said,
we won.
Wow.
Almost completely across the board.
I always temper everything, but it was a bit of a celebration. So we got information.
We got memos, strategies, employee emails, more than 150 pages of stuff.
And so what'd you find out?
I mean, going through these documents for the first time, at least for me as a nerdy journalist, was like reading a thriller. There was one email exchange between two employees, and they're referring to a child as a whale. And a whale, of course, is a term that the casino industry uses to describe a big spender, you know, somebody that flies in on a private jet. But this was a 15-year-old girl. Now, one of these Facebook employees says, quote, would you refund this whale ticket, referring to this child, who had just spent $6,500 in a couple weeks. And when this child realized what she had done, she asked for a refund. But the Facebook employee and her supervisor actually joked about how the girl looks more like 13 in her picture. And then the supervisor just comes out and says it. I wouldn't refund. It's $6,500.
For a kid who probably does not have that money, which means her parents have to come up with that money.
Which means she's grounded for like until she's on Social Security.
Yeah.
And the material that we got unsealed, it begins to give us clues as to how a child might spend thousands of dollars. And, you know, it wasn't just documents that we got.
Marked as Exhibit 35.
We actually also got audio from the interviews that Glynis's attorney, J.R., did with Facebook employees.
Are you familiar with this document?
Yes.
What is it?
Bill Richardson is in charge of all payments at Facebook.
It is a discussion thread post which summarized a data analysis she did.
Here is where we learn that Facebook did a study and identified this problem all the way back in 2011. That's when they first noticed they're getting lots of refund requests from credit card companies trying to claw back money from Facebook. They're called chargebacks. And if you have a chargeback rate of 2%, the Federal Trade Commission will actually say that's a red flag for fraud. But when it came to games that children played on Facebook, the total amount being charged back was 9%. And Facebook knew about this well before the lawsuit.
And that pushback response says it is not our current policy to issue refunds in cases when charges were made by someone in your household or someone who is known to you. Is that right?
Yes, that's what it says.
Okay.
And so Facebook had come up with a solution to this problem. Kids would just have to re-enter the first six digits of their parents' credit card number before they could spend more money.
But Facebook has never, other than this specific testing, has never actually imposed that rule on minor transactions. First six digits of a credit card be inputted per transaction, is that correct?
Not to my recollection, no.
Okay.
But they never implemented it.
So Facebook knew this was a problem and decided not to do anything about it.
Yeah, they knew that children were unwittingly spending their parents' money. In fact, they started calling it friendly fraud, which is a term that comes from the credit card industry, but Facebook sort of redefined it to mean when a child would spend their parents' money without their parents knowing.
So they gave it a name but decided not to fix it? Why?
Well, we got a hold of an email that might actually answer that question. A Facebook employee studied this problem and wrote to his bosses that this extra step of adding in credit card numbers would cut into the company's revenue. Back then, Facebook was making about $500 million on social games like Ninja Saga. Facebook never adopted the rule. That's why Glynis filed this lawsuit.
Can you please state your full name for the record?
Ian Michael Bohannon.
And it's the reason that she and her son had to fly all the way to San Francisco to sit down in front of Facebook's attorneys to answer their questions. Now, we didn't get to talk with Ian for this story, but we were able to get a hold of the court recordings of him being deposed. This is back in 2014, after Ian had just finished the eighth grade.
Isn't it true that you knew exactly what you were doing when you made the purchases? And that when your mom found out, you were scared? And so you brought her to a different page on Ninja Saga and did something different that got you coins?
No.
And when Facebook puts on its evidence, you're not going to change your story then, are you?
No.
You understand that perjury on the U.S. system is punishable by up to 5 years in jail?
Yes.
And you're not going to change your testimony?
No.
Man, that is harsh. I would not like it if these lawyers were grilling my kid that way.
Yeah, Glynis felt the same way.
My stomach hurt and I was just full of nerves because I had to sit there and be quiet. And so it was upsetting me that I couldn't protect him in the way that I wanted to.
So, Nate, what is this story about? Is this a story about a tech company that just grew too fast? Or is it something more sinister?
Well, Facebook knew it was duping kids into spending money, and it even designed a solution to fix that problem. But it never implemented it because it would hurt Facebook's revenues. So what this lawsuit did, what this story shows, is the culture, the decision-making inside of Facebook. Now, in the end, because of the lawsuit, Glynis and the other people did get their money back, but that was about it.
That's really what I wanted. I didn't go at this like, I'm going to make a bunch of money off of Facebook. I didn't make any money. I did it for the principle of the thing, because in my heart and in my gut and in my mind, they were doing the wrong thing.
Thinking about all of this, you know, the lawsuit didn't actually address the root problem. It's still possible for kids to spend their parents' money without realizing it, correct?
That's right.
So what has been the impact of your reporting? Is anybody doing anything to actually stop that?
So as part of the settlement, Facebook beefed up its refund policy for children. But, you know, I was reading through their website recently, and I found that they still let game developers get away with a chargeback rate that is more than double what the government says should be a red flag for deceptive behavior.
Since Nate started reporting on this story, a dozen child safety and online privacy groups filed a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission, calling on them to investigate Facebook. In their letter, they said, Facebook has a callous disregard for young people and a culture that prioritizes profits over people. When we come back, Nate has a story about even bigger spenders, bigger whales, and how they get hooked. That's next on Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.